Last week, and I spoke about this yesterday on the show, a wonderful exhibition at the Sibono Discovery Center in Johannesburg, an exhibition of rock art where you get an understanding of our ancestors, where we came from, and you get a glimpse into their lives, how they lived and the way they represented their lives and their beliefs, their spirituality through their rock art. The thing that is so wonderful about it is you can go to Sibono and see the actual rock art, the African rock art on display, the actual rocks themselves. At the same time, you can take in a wonderful exhibition about rock art from Europe at the recreation of what's known as the Lascaux Caves, the Paleolithic cave paintings which were found in 1940, which date back 17,000 years. And you get a sense of what the European early man was doing at the time. However, the African rock art is much, much older, once again, emphasizing the fact that early life was here in Africa. This is truly the cradle of humankind. While I was at Sibono, I had a chat to a man who was identified to me or pointed out to me as the rock star of South Africa. He's best known for his research on South African San rock art. He is a South African archaeologist at Wits University. His name is David Lewis Williams, and I had a chat to him at Sibono. Obviously, it's fascinating going back 17,000 years, but it's when I walk into the next room and I see an exhibition of South African or African rock art, I realize I'm dealing with something a lot older. Going back, when's the earliest recording of rock art in Africa?
Well, the earliest recording of South African rock art is a lot older than Lascaux. Lascaux is dated to 17,000 years before the present. But we have stones from southern Namibia that were excavated from the Apollo 11 cave that date to 27,000 years before the present. And that is still not near the beginning of the Southern African rock art.
Where's the best place in South Africa to see rock art?
There are a number of sites that are open to the public in the Western Cape, in the mountains, in the Cederberg. And then in the Drakensberg, there are a number of sites at Giant's Castle and Camberg, which are quite close to each other, that are open to the public, and the art is well preserved and certainly well worth looking at.
Well, the Lascaux Caves were closed because too many people had gone through, the artwork was being damaged, and now I believe nobody goes there. Why is that not the case for our rock art? Did they use different substances? How come it's been preserved over such a long period of time?
The difference is that Lascaux is an underground cave. It is deep and dark, completely dark, so deep underground, whereas our rock art is in open rock shelters. And so underground, the humidity from people's breath builds up and caused a fungus to grow on the rock and destroy the paintings. And so they had to stop people coming into the cave and try to cure the fungus that was growing there. But in South Africa, it's open to the weather, and that problem doesn't arise.
What does that art in South Africa tell us about the people? Are we able to learn about their lives and their surroundings?
A lot of people don't realize that there were records made of San beliefs back in the 1870s. And San people themselves actually commented on the paintings. And so we don't have to guess entirely what they're all about. And the records that were made in the 1870s are extensive. There are thousands of pages, 12,000 pages of word-for-word transcriptions of what the San people said in their own language that's extinct now, but we've got it all written down. And there we can find out the beliefs that led to the making of the rock art.
So these won't be just simple renditions of, say, animals and people. Are they stories that are being told?
They're not so much stories as being told, but they are pointing in the direction of special animals. They didn't paint every animal, and they put emphasis, particularly in South Africa, on the eland antelope, because they believed that the eland had more supernatural power, or depending on the language, that people were able to harness and use that to travel to the spirit world. And parts of the spirit world are depicted on the rock face. So the rock art is not just about daily life, as people think it is, but it's about deeply held religious beliefs.
There's also a lot, correct me if I'm wrong, there are more representations of humans, whereas with the Lascaux paintings, only one image of a human being.
That is correct, yes. In southern Africa, there are either as many humans as animals or more humans than animals in a rock shelter. But in Lascaux, as you say, there's only the one. And it's because they were about different takes, if you like, on the spirit world. They were interested in different things about the spirit world.
Around the caves as well in Lascaux, they picked up various tools, ornaments. I don't know if that's the right word for it. With the South African rock art, were there remnants of the tools that the painters used?
Well, it's very difficult because they used brushes which have not really been preserved. They took reeds and then took hairs from, say, a wildebeest tail and stuck it in the reeds to make a little brush. And those haven't really been preserved. But the paints themselves, of course, are preserved on the rock face. And we know that the paints were very special. They used a special kind of ochre to make red paint. And when they could, they mixed it with eland blood, because the eland had this ngum or kreh that I was talking about. And so the power went into the paint and then into the painting, so that the painting of the eland had bits of eland in it, and it became a source of supernatural power that people could draw on.
So we can we to any extent learn about the conditions under which people lived at that time, or is there too much of a spiritual nature in these paintings to extrapolate the world around them, the environment in which they lived?
No, we can extrapolate the environment, because there are still people living in a modified hunter-gatherer way of life in the Kalahari, the San people there, and their beliefs are very similar to the beliefs that were written down in the 1870s for the San people who lived in the south.
I just wonder to what extent, though, South Africans are aware of the rock art heritage that we have in this country. Come to Saibona, and my eyes are wide open. I'm aware that it exists, but I wouldn't know where to go, and I wouldn't understand the significance until today.
I'm afraid that's true. Most people think that the paintings in South Africa were meaningless, little sketches of people doing things and so forth. And the public has to be educated. And a thing like the Saibona exhibition will bring home to people the real value, tremendous value, of the Southern African rock art.
Do you believe we've uncovered all our sites?
Oh, no. I'm at Wits University, and when we have an expedition into the remote valleys of the mountains, particularly in the Drakensberg or the Cederberg, we are going to find sites that nobody has ever seen since the San people left.
When's that happening? Is that an ongoing thing?
It's an ongoing thing, yes.
So your work never ends, does it?
Well, some people guess that there are 14,000 rock art sites in South Africa, leaving out Lesotho, Swaziland. And some people say there are as many waiting to be discovered.
What should we do with sites like that? Obviously, there's the academic perspective that we need, but should this be made open to the public? Is there danger by doing that, that the art might be compromised in some way?
There is a danger, because some people throw water onto the paintings because they think it makes them brighter, but actually it destroys them. And some people have even been known to squirt Coca-Cola onto paintings. You imagine what a mess that made. And then people like to scratch their names onto paintings. And all the paintings are protected by law. They're protected by law, and if you scratch them and put your name on them, you can be taken to court and convicted of a crime.
But nothing like actually going to a place and actually seeing where it took place. So I hope there are places where the art is protected, but the tourists can go and view it. That is the case.
That's right. The places that I mentioned at Giant's Castle and Camberg are protected, and you're not allowed to go to the site without a guide. and the guide keeps an eye on the people and keeps them back from the painting so they don't keep touching them and spoiling them.
It's a fascinating world. I do appreciate your time. Thank you, David, so much for chatting to me.
My pleasure.
David Lewis Williams, archaeologist at Wits University, as we rediscover Africa for ourselves. Go to that Sibono exhibition, learn so much about our history, about our ancient art as well, all happening at the Sibono Discovery Center in Newtown.